Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 24th of August. It's bank holiday weekend. I didn't realise it was bank holiday weekend.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Bank holiday weekend. End of the summer is nigh. It's nearly there. It's nearly over. I am joined in the studio today by our security expert. I like calling him our security expert. He's our,
I like it as well.
He's our security expert, Richard Bell.
Good morning.
Intelligent. Good morning, Richard. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. And we have Paul in the studio with us today.
Hello.
Hello. And I've also got a little co-host today, Lucy.
Hi.
Say hello.
Hi.
Yes. So still in the summer holidays, so Lucy's coming in having work experience, aren't you, Lucy?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I'm knocking the pieces. We are... Now I've completely lost track of where are we?
It's Friday.
You know, I do not know what day it is. It's coming to the summer holidays. We've had 5 weeks...
What day it is. It's today.
Today is today. It's 5 weeks of summer holidays and they just all days are rolling into one. It's just merged.
It has been horrific.
It's merged. I don't know. I've had fun, actually.
Have you?
Yeah. Been working part-time. We've been out, doing days out. We've been to Port Lim a few times.
Yeah, we haven't done as much as we usually do, but we've still got a week or so left, so we will get out next week.
Exactly. It's a week left, and that's it. And you've got to get it all fitted in next week. But you are listening to the Business Bunker Extra. If there's anybody out there. Everyone's getting away. Apparently, this is the busiest day on the roads today.
Mm,
everyone's
yeah,
going away for the bank holiday weekend.
Can't wait for the M20.
Yay! Oh, we're going to have so much fun. We do want to hear from you. If you're out there, the listeners, do give us a tweet at Bunker Extra, the extra B Bunker hashtags. We have got our security expert show today, so we've got some stuff that we're going to be covering. But if you've got a question, please do ask. We don't want to hear it. Richard will attempt to. Let's see if we can catch him out. We'll attempt to answer it on air.
Very easy. Don't worry about it.
You can, if you're really serious about your question, give us a call on air. On 01233 220035, 01233 220035. Now, if you do call, please tweet and tell us you're calling because we can't always see the phone flashing, so we miss it. And we had a phone call last week, and eventually we got to answer it. If you'd like to tell us about yourselves, if you'd like to come on the show, if you'd like to tell us about an event coming up, because we do like covering events on this show, then do give us an email at bunkerextra@gmail.com. Now, on last week's show, I was joined in the studio by the marvellous Molly Wright from Molly Moodle Media, and our guests were Karina and Adele Wilson from the Two of Harps. So it was all musical and classical and classy last week. These are two really talented young ladies. Adele is 21 and Karina's 17, but they're phenomenal. They started playing harps. I think Adele was 10 and Karina was 7. It's the first instrument they learned was the harp, as you do.
Obviously,
most
mine
people
was with the recorder.
Exactly, most is the recorder and then pianos and things like that, but no, the harp. But very, very talented ladies, young ladies, and they even compose and perform and sing their own music now.
Good.
So it's amazing. But if you want to hear that show or any of the previous shows, if you pop along to bizradio.co.uk, click on the extra tab and all the shows are there. Now, we have got lots to cover today in the show. Twitter world is a little bit quiet, but I'm guessing it's because everybody's going away, gone away, is away, and it's summer, so that's fine. But we do have a quick shout outs for 62_tech on the Twitter. Say hello to Megan and Aaron online. Pink Spaghetti, our Pink_Spag_Emily. Good morning. And who else have we got on there? Oh, Tony Burke. So Tony from Chimp. I still can't say this. Chips and Dinks. It's because of Chimps and Tricks. See, I keep getting confused. Chimps and Dinks. Chips and Dinks even. They're actually going away for the day today. They're going to Chessington, but they're going to listen tomorrow. So we'll give them a shout out. If you have a chip or a dink in your car, Tony is fantastic and will come sort it out for you. So check them out on the Twitter. But anyway, what have you been up to, Richard?
Work. we've taken on a few more clients. I've been sort of engaging with them. So from the work perspective, that's been going well.
Hmm.
I haven't really done much in Kent, although I did a couple of weeks ago visit the Kent Centre and went back to my youth and watched Simple Minds. So there was certainly a couple of hours where I thought I was Jim Kerr.
Oh, okay.
But it's a great little venue that they had there. I mean, it's a great venue anyway, but it was a great little concert that I had. And Katie Lang was there and Katie Tungstall and The Pretenders and Simple Minds. And you got really close to them and the music was great, food's good. The location was good, and I took that priority parking out as well, so I was away certainly quicker than I was.
See, you knew, didn't you? You've been into the event centre, and you're like, right, I know this time, I'm going to make sure.
Yeah, definitely worth investing in the priority parking, because I was out within seconds in comparison to days that it took me last time. But that was good. And just trying to spend a bit of time with the kids. Which is always nice. My 13-year-old has been doing some work experience with his granddad and been doing building.
Oh, okay.
So it's been nice to get him off a fortnight for a change, because he likes his PlayStation. And the 5-year-old will always make us testing times.
She's
always,
five, of course.
So it's her world and we just live in it. Yeah. So we just run around after her. But yeah, it's been good.
Cool. Does business get a little bit quieter for you this time of year?
Yeah, it's always the way. I mean, you certainly. One of the difficulties is that you try and pick up on conversations, and people are just away.
Mm.
And as long as you understand that, then you know you're not annoying the client, and you sort of make a bit of a plan to sort of revisit them after they return. But equally, within that sort of quiet period, it's also a chance for organisations to take stock, have a bit of an idea as to where they want to go next. So we've had some new clients come to us in that breathing space. So, I understand a lot of people go away, but equally, I've sort of found that a lot of people have used that opportunity to revisit. What they're doing and have conversations. So it's been a nice sort of balanced summer, really.
Yeah.
And the heat.
Where has the heat gone?
Well, this is summer now. This is what we're used to.
No, I just wanted one more weekend of not so nice weather. Supposed to be having a barbecue on Sunday. I don't think that's going to happen, is it?
Doesn't look like it at the moment. No.
We're going to have an indoor barbecue indoor instead.
Yeah. A braai with umbrellas.
Definitely. So we've got lots of security stuff to talk about today, haven't we? We thought we're going to take advantage of having plenty of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
To cover what's going on in the world of security.
It's sort of following there's been many incidents that have been out there and been reported by the media. And before we came on air, we were talking about Superdrug. And I think at the last show, I sort of mentioned the fact that these are becoming more and more household names that have a direct impact on people's purse and sort of front rooms and living rooms. It's more visible to them. But over the last couple of shows, we sort of talked about what is ransomware and what is cybersecurity and some of the risks that are attributed to it. Today, I wanted to try and cover, and not in any great detail because we'll sort of support it with a blog, but around businesses thinking about or trying to create their culture that supports a secure environment.
Mm.
And that largely is around the people piece. It's around making sure that you give people the right information, the right tools, and create the right structure around them so that they can, with confidence, do their job. In the backdrop of everyone sort of scaremongering around, don't click on emails and everything else. It's literally just trying to give some training. So I've pulled out some sort of salient points around what in larger organisations we would call it a sort of security awareness programme, and there'll be a suite of work that goes on beneath that to really sort of unravel the culture of a big organisation. That's all good. That's all very sort of tried and tested stuff. But again, going into a small business, that tends to make less sense to them. So I've picked out and sort of summarised some areas of risk and what to sort of do to mitigate that. We've also got a question that's come out
We've got a question on Twitter, just to try and catch Richard out.
I will thank Rolo for.
Thank you, Rolo, for the question.
When I see him, and I will get a chance to answer that, Rolo. Thanks for your support. But firstly, so designing and delivering an awareness program.
So first of all, just so we sort of clarify for our listeners, because obviously when we're talking about cyber security, and obviously what we want to look at a lot is, as a business, covering yourself. Yeah. But there's two different areas and two different things to look at when you're talking about security. It's your personal security, isn't it, for every day, which is something that's sort of highlighted with the recent superdrug attack.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is obviously as a business, that you as a business know that you're securing your clients' details and your everything you've got as a business that is secure from attack.
Absolutely.
So I'm just going to throw it out there just to get my question in first so I don't forget it.
Yeah.
As a business, how do you know you've been hacked? How do you know these people have your data?
Generally, these people.
Should I have tested you before? Should I have checked this with you before we went on there?
Well, it's always good to do that, mate. Unfortunately, the only time you'll find out is probably too late.
Mm.
And you know, if your data has been lost or hacked or stolen or whichever phrase that we want to use, there'll be a third party, whether that's the criminals that are responsible for it or a customer that's been impacted by it. That's going to be your first point of call of actually knowing, unless you've got really tried and tested sort of monitoring capability within the organisation that sort of highlights and alerts you to that.
So is it that you're basically, is it that it's lost? Are you used hacked? Obviously, there's all the terms that you sort of hear on the news, but is the data lost? Is it gone? You go to look for it and it's not there anymore? Or do they just copy it?
There's different routes to that type of problem. And when we've talked about ransomware, that's a group of criminals or an individual that is stopping you from using your data. So they will be locking that data down. Now, whether that's on their system or they've removed that data from you and are holding it hostage somewhere and going to send you bit by bit back like in the Hollywood movies, you will not be able to access that data. That's the idea around the ransom aspect. And those incidents, as we're seeing in the press, are increasing. But equally, you know, and a lot of businesses will largely be unimpacted by unaffected by those type of attacks until their data becomes more valuable. Because, you know, the criminals will be looking for personal data that helps them attribute further crime, finance terrorism and all of those types of things that we've covered. But when the data is lost, that's probably the more common type of example that will still have an impact. Either way, that you not having that data, and particularly if it's personal data or regulated data, financial data or otherwise, that's when we have to start looking at, you know, you actually knowing the true extent of that data and you know, how you're not allowed to how it's not accessible anymore. And then you've got to make some reports and you've got to start reporting it to the Information Commissioner. You've got to start engaging with your customers that have been impacted quite quickly. The sooner the better.
And sorry, that's when it starts to get really difficult, isn't it?
That's the piece,
because if your data's been hacked and people are using a database of customers to like email stuff out, and you're trying to email your customers to go, ignore this, your customer doesn't know which one to ignore to some extent, you know, because you're trying to use the same platform to tell people not to listen to the platform, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
And that makes it really, really hard.
It's difficult. And that's when you've got to start thinking about, you know, as with all businesses, your disaster recovery plans and how resilient is your systems and we're now in the space of what the question that Rolo asked, which is around backing up your data, and you know, he's right, there are a load of horror stories that are out there. I would say that largely there's three ways to back up your data. There's an on-prem, what they call an on-premises solution, which is you save it to your own hard drives, whether it be the desktop or, you know, usually a built server somewhere in located elsewhere in the office. The removable option, which is at the end of the day, and this will never happen, but, you know, at the end of the day, you remove that data and secure it somewhere else, and there's risks attributed to that. Or you go for a cloud-based solution so that, you know, there are different levels of sort of segregation of that data. So if you're working on a cloud-based solution, and there's many out there, but, you know, other providers are available, let's say 365, Office 365, you know that you can go back in a point of time and be able to get a lot of that data that you've probably lost. You've still got an incident that you have to deal with, but you're not stuck in that catch-22 system where you're unable to speak to that, to those clients. But it's about making sure that the data is accurate, correct, and up-to-date, as well as everything else, because losing one of those... not contacting one of those data sets, one of those customers or clients that have been affected, that's where it becomes really quite tricky and becomes more than just that cyber attack or that those criminals losing it. You should report it. There are it does feel a bit clunky when you start reporting because you have been a victim of crime. And this extends to whether it's in a business or at home or in your personal life. There are ways of reporting it. You know, you can use the web to do so. You must sort of contact. It's not worth going to your local police because they will only refer you to Action Fraud. Action Fraud is the sort of the wider community and sort of policed and governed by the City of London Police on behalf of the UK. They in turn will then use that intelligence firstly because some might be impacted, others might be impacted by it, and they will then start to do the report. Around the loss of it. The leap of faith of where I used to work in, whereas quite quickly the data sets that we were working with were in their millions and billions, that starts to become a bit more critical, and then you've got other sort of more grown-up agencies that you can go to, like the National Cybersecurity Centre, Action Fraud as well, and others to help you do that. But when you're on your own, the fear is, do you need that data? You need that data quickly. So you end up paying, certainly if there's a ransomware, you end up paying the criminals or the hackers or the people that are responsible for it, the release fee, the hostage, the ransom. The moment you do that, you open yourself up to someone coming back to you every other 5 minutes.
Do people do it, though, that they pay it to get...
Yeah. And it might not be a lot. You hear stories around, you know, they want it in Bitcoin and other fashions. Whichever way you pay, the moment you pay, you become a victim of a recurrence.
Absolutely.
So then within a company, as you say, you're about to talk about sort of how to set that up to make sure that you're...
I'm going to try and stay away from the technical solutions because, you know, there's no one fit that you can give to an organisation. Certainly working cloud-based, whilst it has its limitations, it offers you a lot more flexibility. But the one thing that you can influence that largely is very cost-effective and in most cases free if you get the right type of information, is improving your internal knowledge and capability. And, you know, there's many cybersecurity professionals out there that do a lot for a living, but I'm not going to have those to hand when I'm at my desk with the email that I've got coming in or some of the problems that I've facing internally. So it's about training your staff and letting your staff know or giving your staff enough information to be able to work with confidence in their space when they're working. And understanding and identifying the unusual. And this has been a long time problem for, you know, large, small and medium companies, particularly around payrolls and the commercial, the contractual agreements between and payment payroll with companies and the individual. I would always try to go to that finance department. And this is where, you know, criminals tend to focus their attention, whether it be social engineering or try and send that email to that person and say, I'm from, you know, X company. I've changed my bank details. Please, can you ensure that the next payment method is done to this? And then the money just gets sent to an account. having a, you know, there are technical solutions to that if you operate in that. But the real thing to do is be able to give your staff that's responsible for answering that phone and processing that transaction the right information to be able to alert themselves to what we call red flags. This will go, well, that's unusual. That client never contacts us and speak to somebody else and make and validate the request, because it might well be legit, but validate that request by going back to the company.
I guess that's the thing as well, is it's just, as with all types of security, awareness.
Yeah.
Awareness of that somebody could actually phone up and say, I've changed my bank details or email.
Yeah. It is a minefield, because companies, even though they will tell you to be careful, they themselves then make really stupid mistakes. I think I told the story the other day. You get emails from organisations saying, we never do this and we never do that. It's a scam, so watch it. 10 minutes later, you get a phone call from them going, all right, this is the bank. Can we have your personal details? You called me? Yeah. No, you can't. No. But it's urgent. I don't care. You know, they've got to get their own processes in order first. It's no good keep telling us to be wary and then doing stupid things that they don't think through themselves. Yeah. Because the whole thing becomes a minefield then, because you don't know who to trust. Yeah. Yeah. I saw a great one. I do this, and it really made me stop and think about this. About 8 months ago, I saw a fraud that had taken place where somebody had hacked a business owner's personal email account, and they sent an email to the finance manager of the company they owned and said, oh, I'm stuck on holiday. I desperately need some money. Can you transfer me 50,000 quid, please, Tricia, quickly? And she went, oh, sorry to hear that, Mike, and sent 50 grand to some unknown person. And I suddenly realised that's the kind of thing I do. I send my finance manager emails going, oh, can you pay this and can you do that and can you do this? And we had to put in place a procedure that says, you know, I can't do that without some checks and balances on this. Absolutely. Yeah. And this is, we have a procedure. I'm not going to tell you what the procedure is, obviously, but we have a procedure now where I need to do something like that. We have a procedure that they know it's me and it's a legitimate thing.
And a lot of this is putting the supporting procedure behind. I mean, again, you know, bigger organizations, there'll be different type of technical solutions, but it's the person in enabling the person to work with confidence in an organisation does help so many other things, but it certainly helps secure them and protect the organisation. Because, you know, losing £50,000 to some companies, certainly some of our listeners, that's life changing.
Yeah, absolutely,
that's life changing and career ending, an organisation ending. Mm. So there are many risks out there that you know organisations have to think about. But when talking, and I would say it's about a discussion, it's about talking to your staff about the risks that your organization faces, that the business faces, will be different across the board. But it's about letting them know that, you know, you don't want them to start putting removable drives in and flash drives and USB sticks, because right, and we've spoken about it.
You mentioned the flash sticks before?
Because you leave them on the train.
Yeah. You know, so the data comes off and it goes else, you know, and there's very limited ways of being able to track that. But equally, you don't know what's on those sticks in the first place. And
exactly.
You put it in and it starts to...
So if you're somebody who likes to go to exhibitions and collect flash sticks, flash drives...
Why are you looking at me?
Because you do. You've got a whole box.
I've got a whole box. Of
for the listeners, they're looking at each other.
Yeah.
And talk to them around the risks associated with that, because a lot of times, like as we mentioned, that would be the furthest thing from their thoughts. So talk to them about it. Put some process in place that they're not allowed to put, you know, what I call a dirty stick into a computer until that's been tested or that's been looked at a clean sort of machine that's not on the system, you know, those type of things. And giving them confidence to be able to, and trusting them, empowering them to be able to report incidents. Now, incidents are various different kinds, but, you know, that example of, you know, someone putting a stick in, we're not talking about, you know, snitching environment, but we're trying to create an environment where they can, with confidence and without fear of retribution, be able to say, look, I think Amanda keeps putting, you know, a stick in, and I'm not quite sure what that's about. And also, if the screen does go blank and a message comes up and says, give me money, a lot of people just sort of go, well, I'll turn it off at the screen and it's not my problem. Report it, because the sooner you know about it, the more that you can do to prevent it. So it's about creating that reporting structure. Mm. Similar to though that, you know, the sort of health and safety reporting, you know, that the two topics are not wildly different. But because we've had a lot more time, health and safety is more embedded in our thought process within organisations, and cyber's not, because it's the mere word cyber puts people off.
Mm. I guess so many businesses, and especially smaller businesses, just think, well, I'm small, it won't happen to me. Mm. And that's why they don't even think about having the processes in place, which they really need to.
The example that Paul just used around that 50,000, that's bread and butter. That will be happening thousands and thousands of times a day to any type of organisation. Mm. So having that look check, and it won't be a costly measure that he would have put in place, but it will be some way of him being able to validate, and equally the vice versa, the validation that comes back to Paul to sort of say, am I all right to make this payment or this transaction? Mm. And that's because they've started talking. And that's all it is.
Communication.
There's different code words you can use, or you can, you know, there's
lots of ways to do it, but you've got to do it. You've got to put that process in place. And I think Richard's point is the most valid point of all, is that my finance manager has the confidence to challenge me when I do it. That's the main thing that not go, oh, I don't want to upset Paul by saying, but this sounds dodgy. Yeah. She has the confidence to ring me and go, did you really just ask me to do that? Yeah. And I go, yeah, sorry. I did. Which will go, no, not until you follow the procedure. Okay.
You say that, isn't it? The staff having the confidence to.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've told me to.
And
do
I'm
this.
Just about to contradict myself. Well, not contradict myself. What I would also say is that organisations need to be able to understand their staff so that they can understand the insider threat associated with it. So, you know, the moment you start to go into other organisations, there is value in stealing data, no matter how big or how small. Mm. So, you know, you've got to tread that fine line about trust, giving them enough information to trust them, but being professional enough to be able to put the checks and balances in place that enable you to identify someone that may be displaying behaviours that may not be as trusting as you would like to think.
Absolutely. Many years ago now, we had a very senior employee in an organisation that I owned, had immense amount of trust, incredibly successful person. And one day they came in and said that they were leaving and that they were going to start their own organisation. And due to their contract, they realised they had to have a three-month moratorium, and it was just lucky that in that particular organisation I actually ran the computer systems. And about 3 days later I noticed a lot of activity on our database, and I was able to prove that he'd actually been coming in early and removed the entire database of our clients.
It's a tricky one. Again, large organisations now, they put the procedure in place where you get changed, you might get different duties, you get taken away from critical roles and all those type of things. I think it's wise to apply at any size organisation.
Wow, so I think we're going to have a break now. So you are listening to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. We have just been scaring the hell out of you in the first half of the show. This week is our security special, and we've got our security expert, Richard Bell from 10 Intelligence, here today, sharing with us some really great advice. You know what? You need to keep yourself secure. You need to keep your business secure. We'll be back after this quick break to discuss a little bit more, and then we've got lots of events coming up to tell you about. So we'll be right back.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. More like the way we rock it, so don't stop. And under the lights, when everything goes.
To advertise your job vacancies in Kent with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50 plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
And welcome back. You are listening to the Business Bunker Extra radio show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 24th of August. I am joined in the studio today by our security expert, Richard Bell from 10 Intelligence. We are having our cyber security show today, and it's a whole show dedicated to cybersecurity. We thought we'd give a whole show to it today because it's really important that everybody knows how to keep themselves and their businesses safe. And Paul has joined us in the studio today as well.
Hello.
And we've also got a little co-host in the studio today, which is the lovely Lucy.
Hi.
Hi, Lucy. Are you having fun?
Yeah.
So, Lucy, just quickly tell us what is the best thing you've done so far this summer holidays?
I don't know.
We've done lots of good things, haven't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
How about, was it seeing the eagle owl yesterday at Leeds Castle?
Yeah, and getting two ice creams.
And getting two ice creams. Was that the best bit, was it? Or was it we went to Port Liam and we saw the gorilla baby?
And we went to Leeds Castle and we saw the eagle owl.
The eagle owl. Yeah, you like that. It was a beautiful
I know a lot about owls.
Why do you know a lot about owls?
Because my new class is called Owls, and I've been learning about them in my class.
And what is your when are you looking forward to going back to school?
Say yes.
No, no.
Are you looking forward to going back to school?
Yeah.
Yes.
I want to do it next week.
You, well, one more week and then you're going to go back to school.
Oh.
I know. we are doing a security special this week, and we have just been talking with Richard about how to keep your business safe and about making sure that the people that work for you are aware of the security and keeping and having procedures in place for the company.
Yeah.
Just to keep you covered, really. And It just comes down to everything again, isn't it? It comes down to awareness, being aware of what type of ways you could be attacked and then how to prevent them.
Well, we were just talking off air about a couple of examples. The issue is that the world of digital is about trying to make things as easy as possible to do and to use. Yeah. You know, you've got contactless cards, you know, Apple Pay, you've got all kinds of things and accounts set up. So you're trying to make it easy. But in making it easy, it makes it accessible.
Yeah.
And that's the dilemma that everybody faces, is that the easier it is to buy things and pay for things and to transfer payments and all the rest of it, the more potentiality there is for getting hijacked. Mm. So it's this huge dilemma. And for me, there's a massive set of opportunities here for new products and services that I don't know what that, if I knew, I'd do it myself, but do you know what I mean? There's a massive amount of opportunity here for developing products that are easy to use but are secure. And I suppose some of that will come, with credit cards, for instance, will come down to iris recognition and face recognition and things like that. Yeah. But that only works when you're present.
Yes, yeah. But I mean, yeah, particularly, those type of aspects of securing. Well, one of the things, and you mentioned about the ease, is people's laptops. Mm. Now, generally, they're not purchased from a provider that secures them at design. Mm. So they're not for vanilla builds or anything like that, which means that you've got very little on it. Mm. You go to a reputable company that might have just been involved in a attack yourself. and you buy something because it works very quickly and you can store lots of stuff on it. Mm. I mean, they're the two things that you look for, aren't you?
Mm. Ease, isn't it?
Whether it's a processor or otherwise. And then once you start operating on it and you put everything onto it, you use the websites to use your banking and iTunes accounts and all those other types of aspects. And it memorizes it.
Yeah, absolutely. It keeps it which is really useful.
Which is incredibly useful because no one could ever remember it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, okay, some you do need to put fingerprints on if it's on your phone or iris or anything like that. But if you've got someone's laptop, then, you know, that gives you the keys to a lot of the kingdom.
Exactly.
And the laptops are not designed to withstand someone with a certain level of capability and intelligence to not able to hack that laptop itself. I mean, there's programs that you can get on free online, and open them. And then I've got all of the access that I need and probably access to your systems because the 365 or any other sort of provider that using Google Docs or anything like that takes me straight into the account. So now I'm in your system and I'm going all over the place.
Yeah.
So everyone's worried about, don't click on the email. Mm. But there's, you've got to measure it up, what your business is.
Absolutely. Well,
I've
got a laptop that I hadn't used for a while.
Yeah.
And I stupidly went and updated the operating system and it bricked the laptop.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had to restart it all from scratch and all the rest of it. And I couldn't remember my password to get into it. And no matter what I did, I couldn't remember the password. And at that stage, you're locked out. So I rang a mate of mine who's a specialist and things like that. And I said, what do you do? And he went, it's a doddle. Give it to me. I'll sort it out. And 10 minutes later, he gave me back. He said, right, your password now is.
That's a scary thing. I mean, I know whenever I do anything online, obviously it always comes up, would you like to save your card details?
Yeah. Mm.
I never do. I never save any of my details, whether I'm buying anything online. Just because I just thought it gives them access, doesn't it? But it's saved somewhere and then somebody can find it.
It comes down to this mass. It's the same with personal passwords of anything. You know, I must have 400 passwords. And the problem is you can't remember them. And I did try experimenting with using one of those systems where it randomised it, and I just couldn't get on with that at all. I just didn't like it. And I also felt uncomfortable about it. I don't know why, but I just did. But, this is the problem, is balancing the ease of use, which is something we're trying to do with the digital world, is to make things easy to use without making it susceptible for everybody that shouldn't use it to use it too. And that is incredibly difficult.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, that the world that we live in these days is everybody wants everything done easily.
Mm.
And maybe that's the thing, though. Should we then turn around and go, well, maybe some things shouldn't be so easy, therefore making life a bit safer?
Mm.
We can only influence the things that we can, and these two worlds that we're talking about are colliding at the moment.
Yeah.
The only thing to save the day is stuff. Is your own behaviour.
Absolutely.
It's the way your brain works.
You've got to be more aware. You've got to have procedures for handling things. Yeah, so I totally agree.
Well, I know we're fast coming to the end of the show now, and I want to make sure we cover the events. Is there any other thing that you was going to cover today?
I'll put some of my thoughts, ramblings and some ideas and just a basic checklist on the blog.
I think checklists are good, aren't they? Because people just want to go, right, what can I do to be secure?
Well, I'll give a series of questions that they can ask themselves.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Fantastic.
That'll be brilliant. Yeah. So that will be on the Biz Radio website over the weekend once we've got it from Richard. Yeah. But thank you so much again. It's, as Paul said, it's just about being aware and training, you being trained, your staff being trained, and just everyone within the company.
Yeah. As long as everyone keeps talking, that's going to help a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And don't ever think it won't happen to me, because it could one day happen to you.
Everything happens to someone at some stage.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely.
Oh, scary world we live in.
Happy bank holiday, everyone.
Yeah, happy bank holiday.
We had the radio website was hacked a few years ago, which was it was hilariously funny, because it was some guys in Pakistan, and all they did was direct it to their own website, which was called the Pakistani Music Massive, and they just played Pakistani music 24 hours a day. And we had quite a few people who went, you could leave that, actually. It's not bad.
That sounds like a show segment or something.
Yeah. Actually sounds better than always play. Fantastic. Now, obviously, so everything has quietened down in the summer. Some people, and I know some people have been very business, but event-wise, there's not a huge amount that has been happening. But September and October, there's loads, isn't there, Richard? I mean, there I gave is. You a pile of emails, and you're like, oh, God, there's so much to read out.
So much pressure. Yes, starting with following last year's success of Gorillas and Gowns, the charity fashion show that was put together by Butterfly Events, the Chimps and Tricks charity event at Port Limp Hotel is happening on the 19th of October between 6 and 11:30, raising funds to support the Aspinall Foundation's Megafauna project, hosted by our very own Amanda of Butterfly Events, and Paul, who's sitting next to me. In fact, I'll find out what they're going to say, because I'll certainly be coming along as well. I mean, I know the team from Intelligence are going to be coming, and that's done in conjunction and collaboration with Jane Mucklow of Jane Mucklow Photography. It proves to be a stunning night. Upon entry, you'll get the bubbly and the canapes as normal. And if anybody knows about Port Limp and what goes on there, it's a stunning setting for the event. There's plenty to do. There's plenty to see. There's entertainment from magicians. There's a casino. There's music. I suppose the clue's in the title. It's about the chimps and the tricks throughout the event, and it is raising money for, as I said, the Aspinall Foundation, which is a great cause. Tickets are just £55. All proceeds go to the fundraising, and for more details, please visit www.butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/what's-on.
Fantastic. It is going to be a super glitzy, glamorous, fun evening.
Certainly is.
You've got something. I could pull something to read as well.
Yeah, I have. The Business Doctors on Wednesday the 26th of September, starting at 6 p.m. and running through till 7:30 p.m. at Metro Bank in Maidstone. That's on the junction of the High Street and Wick Street. Business Doctor Peter Searle will be hosting this free FSB Connect event. This month, you're going to be hearing from Chris Broom, and Chris is the head of investment at Locate in Kent. They're the official investment promotion agency for Kent and Medway, and Chris will outline how they provide a wide range of expertise, services and connections to high-profile Kent partners and businesses looking to inward locate into the county. To book this free event, you can go to businessdoctors.co.uk and click on the events tab, or eventbrite.co.uk and search for events in Maidstone.
Good. Peter does, the Business Doctors do keep on putting lots of good free events on.
Yeah, they do indeed. They do indeed.
Really great support, which is great. Are you a speaker? The Speakers Platform is for those speakers out there who want to be seen and be heard. Do you want to practice your speaking skills? And, you know, are you any good? Would you like to win a competition, giving you the chance to improve your speaking and helping you to elevate yourself as a professional speaker? Then you should join us at the Speakers Platform on Wednesday, the 12th of September, at Fruitworks Co-working in Canterbury. It's from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And it is for anybody who is a speaker, who is a budding speaker, and who wants to find out more about becoming a professional speaker. We've got the overall prize for the winner is one-to-one coaching with each of our prestigious judges, who will then share ways for you to improve your speaking and obviously let you know how you can become a professional speaker and earn money from speaking. You will have a video of your talk, which will be fully edited and ready for you to use as part of your speaker reel. And then also a slot in the December's business diaries and a few extras thrown in. Our prestigious judges are Paul Andrews, former professional speaker. You're all right, aren't you? You're quite a good speaker.
All right.
You all right?
All right.
If anyone's seen Paul speaking, you know he's actually very good. We have Jane Farnham, who is the director of the Great British Speakers. She represents a lot of fantastic speakers, presenters, including Lenny Henry is on her books. So, you know, it's a great person to speak to find out how to become a professional speaker. And our third judge is Amy McManus, who is the founder of AM Marketing, and she was this year awarded the Best Business Female Speaker of the Year award. So well done, Amy. And she's going to, again, she's a professional speaker, she's going to help you find out how to become a professional speaker. It is on the 12th of September from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. If you want to find out more and if you want to enter, then you can go to the business, butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/the-speakers-platform. If you're not a speaker and you like the sound of coming, like the sound of this event, we are looking for attendees as well. We want you to come along. It's going to be a great evening of networking as well as listening to some amazing speakers. They're going to be sharing with us their business journey, their highs, their lows, and their successes and their failures. So if you want to come along as an attendee, then please do. And you just need, again, go to the same website, butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk, the speakers platform. And we look forward to seeing you there. What else you got, Richard?
Breakthrough Women's Lunch, Thursday the 6th of September, 10:30 till 3 p.m. at Eastwell Manor in Ashford. Breakthrough Women is back for its sixth instalment and aims to celebrate Kent's women in business and raise the visibility of women succeeding in business. I'd just add that I would say at least 60%, what I'm encouraged by, and as a father of a young daughter who I obviously want to be successful, is that I would say about 60% of the people that I see now are female business owners, certainly in the Kent region.
Absolutely,
watch out, we're growing.
they're back. They're back with a vengeance.
Absolutely.
This event is in association with the Institute of Directors and the Federation of Small Business. And they're delighted to announce a brilliant lineup of inspiring speakers. Every woman in business is welcome, and why not bring a friend or colleague? And go on and bring a man as well.
No, it's women only.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, see, but that.
We like having
men
our
are the one with the problems.
I know. We like having our women only lunches, you know.
Oh, right. Okay.
Then we can talk
in that
about
case,
your men.
Bring a female or similar. For inquiries, please email Sharon at breakthroughgroup.co.uk. Speakers include Rioch Eon Edwards Brown, founder of So You Want to Be in TV. Rioch, is that right how I say it?
Rioch? I have no idea. Right, I hope
we'll
so.
We'll go with that. I'm only going for, because there was an old Arsenal manager called Bruce Rioch, and it's spelt the same way. Rioch is an inspirational mother of four who started So You Want to Be in TV after her son was shot and stabbed while in school. She didn't want revenge, and she reached out to the community to give something back. So You Want to Be in TV is a disruptive social enterprise that addresses the lack of diversity, social mobility, and gaps in the tech business. Tickets are £38.93, including the two-course lunch. Visit Eventbrite, Breakthrough Women's Lunch.
Fantastic.
Great.
Go on, I'll go. I'm going to
go first.
The Business Diaries is back on Thursday, the 13th of September, from 6:45 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Innovation Centre in Chatham. If you haven't heard of the Business Diaries, where have you been? But if you haven't, Business Diaries is a storytelling evening from business owners, but it's not about business. It's not about pitching your products or your business. It's about hearing the story. So behind the person's fantastic event. It is just £10 with nibbles and drinks. So far, I've just seen some speakers. Jude Hill. Carrie Stay is a speaker. Jude Hill is a speaker. I'm trying to think who one of the other speakers is. I'm going to have to put the list down. They are beginning to come out now on social media. So if you follow the Business Diaries on Facebook or the Biz Diaries on Twitter, you can find out who the speakers are. But it's really great because it's, as I say, you get to find out more about the person behind the business, which is always great. And it's a fun networking evening as well. So if you go to the Eventbrite, the Business Diaries, and you can get more details on there.
Thank you.
I gave you another one, didn't I?
You did. Kickstart Social. It's a one-day social media and digital marketing training event for business. It's taking place on the 19th of November at Buckmore Park in Kent. That's just outside Chatham, top of Bluebell Hill. Get started with digital and social media or brush up on your skills. General admission tickets, £45, including VAT. There's one-day training. It includes lunch and refreshments, a CPD certificate for 6 hours, a workbook, plenty of networking, access to videos and free SME resources, and an area to post the event. And this is brought to you by the creators of Social Day and the Social Media Marketing Awards. If you want to find out more about it, go to their website, which is www.kickstartsocial.media.
And we're going to have Lucy Hall, the founder, on the show in a couple of weeks. We're going to find out more about it. So it's nice to have another new event in the Kent. So great stuff. What have you got there, Richard?
The Marsh Network has organised a charity dinner, which begins at 6:30 on the 14th of September at the Ship Inn in Dimchurch, in aid of CARM, C-A-R-M, a local charity that supports older people living in isolation on Romany Marsh. There will be a Prosecco.
Really? One of those.
Bubbles. There'll be bubbles on reception, sponsored by the Ship Inn. Reception music from the Two of Harps, which we were just talking about earlier. A three-course meal, entertainment from Stuart Weller, a professional magician, raffle, and a grand charity auction. There are only 36 tickets left at the moment, and they're going at £37.50 per ticket for the dinner, and a number have already been sold. So get in now and book early for what promises to be a good night, and certainly sounds like a really good cause. To book, go online at marshnetwork.co.uk using the tab at the bottom of the webpage to book.
Fantastic. Another Kent Women in Business luncheon. We just told you, we like these women in business lunches, you see.
Here come the girls.
Yeah, absolutely. Independent woman. It's on Tuesday, the 25th of September from 11:15 to 2:30 p.m. at Bradbourne House in East Morlin. And this is the Kent Women in Business luncheons that happen quarterly in Kent. And let me see, lively, fun and great networking. Don't miss our Women in Business luncheon. You will hear a wide range of speakers covering all areas, who will not only share their stories and experiences, but give an insight into what has worked for them and what didn't work for them. So at this event, they have got two great speakers. They have Gillian Perry, who is the co-founder of the Anne Frank Trust. The trust works in some of the most socially divided and economically challenged regions in the UK. And the other speaker is Kim Arnold. And Kim Arnold is a UK-renowned business growth expert who grabs companies by the scruff of their necks and shakes some spectacular marketing and sales into them.
Fantastic.
Sounds painful. That is just £31.50 plus VAT for two-case lunch. If you go to businesseventsuk.com and find out more there.
Gillian Perry, in fact, is one of the guests on the Business Bunker show on Tuesday as well.
She is, so you can find out more about it. So we've got time for one more, Richard.
Got one more, and that's PSA Southeast.
Oh, let's skip that one and go to the Networkers Networking event.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to promote them.
Sorry, PSA.
I want to promote my stuff, mate, again. Come on.
I only read them out in the order.
I know. I should have put one in front.
Yeah, apparently there's the Networkers Networking event going on.
Yeah, it's some little event.
I don't know why I'm reading out. You could probably say it quicker, but it's a first. It's a full day event, which is all about networking, designed to help business owners get more productivity from their time and to make great connections whilst networking. It's set in the stunning location of Brands Hacks Place on Thursday the 27th. And the theme for this year, event is old and new. We'll be hearing from experienced speakers about their own networking experiences. Three great
and I'm
going
to do it really now because we're really running out of time. Go. Paul Andrews, Brian Wakefield and Ben Abbott. Go to butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/NNE. Early bird tickets are only available for 3 more days.
There we go.
Thank you so much. We have come to the end of another fantastic show. Thank you very much for Richard for being a co-host today and sharing your expertise. It's been great. Thank you, Paul, for being with us on the show today.
Pleasure.
And thank you to Lucy.
Bye.
Say bye.
Bye.
We will be next. Back next week, we have another great guest, Claire Harvey, and our co-host is Gemma Fairclough-Haynes. Have a fantastic bank holiday weekend, everybody. Paul has got a great lineup of guests. Quickly, Paul, you've got just time to fill it in.
Giles Brandreth, raconteur, comedian and former MP, Gillian Perry and Wayne Hodgson are my guests on Tuesday.
Fantastic listening from 1 till 3. Bye-bye for now.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
This is Channel 2.